Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 15. I am joined once again by resident comic book expert Brian Lipsitz. How are you, Brian?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy day, but we are here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
busy weekend. Sorry, I'm still recovering from the lack of busy weekend. I thought it was going to be something awesome, but it wasn't. Of course, I'm talking about the Wizard World New England, which we'll get into later.
But... Absolutely, yeah. Speaking of what's coming up in this episode... We'll do our usual geek outs and freak outs, play some top three. We have listener emails and, of course, the news block as always. And then in the third segment of our show, we'll recap our experiences from the wonderful Wizard World New England, including two interviews I'm extremely excited about. I talked very, very briefly to John Schneider and a little longer with current TNA knockout Tara, who is also former WWE diva Victoria. So I'm very excited to present those interviews later on. Before we get into our geek outs and freak outs, I want to once again plug the YouTube channel. I mentioned it briefly in another episode. You can go to www.youtube.com/thegeekgen, or you can click the link that's right on the homepage to see content there, especially the video content goes up on the YouTube channel before it even hits the site. So if you want to see it as it first goes online, you can check it out there. And I also want to remind the listeners about the contest that's still running, the 2x500 contest. If you want to check out details for that, go right over to the Geek Generation site at thegeekgeneration.com and click the contest button. It's the only contest running right now, so take a look at the details there. Our Facebook fans are currently up to 336, and Twitter followers are up to 204. So they are still going up slowly. But we need to hit 500 on both of those by the end of this calendar year in order to have that contest really activate. And last
thing. We can do it.
Absolutely. The last thing I want to mention real quick is that I'm thinking of doing another fan feedback episode pretty soon, because we did that one after seven of our original episodes, and that was kind of like the 7.5. We're currently on episode 15, so... In some sort of a pattern, I guess, we're kind of due for our second one. So I might be doing that within the next, not next week, but possibly the week after.
Cool.
Yeah, that was a fun time the first time. So
it was. You had a good output of people.
Yeah, and I got to hear from people that sometimes don't bother writing in or just have wanted to get on the show. So more people, since we do have more listeners now, I'm hoping we'll get actually more calls this time around.
Nice.
Yeah. So, geek outs and freak outs. What are you geeking out over this week, Brian?
Yay!
This is probably going to be controversial, but I don't know. I'm still kind of geeking out over the Green Lantern movie. I mean, I know there's the whole controversy about the power battery, which we'll get into, but I saw the Scream Awards last night. I had TiVo'd them, or not last. Yeah, it was last night. I TiVo'd them, and I watched them later. And I don't know. Just the fact that they're making a Green Lantern movie, and everyone seems to be jazzed about it, and I don't know. I'm hoping that it's going to be good. I guess that's my holding out hope. But I guess I'm kind of geeking out still over that. My other geek out is next Tuesday, Back to the Future trilogy comes out on Blu-ray. And for all the people who don't like Blu-ray, I say too bad, because it's going to be awesome and I can't wait.
Yeah, Back to the Future. And I saw this recent item listed on the news lately, is that with the Back to the Future 25th anniversary Blu-ray box set or whatever, it comes with a voucher to download the first episode of the Back to the Future Telltale game.
Oh, does it really? I did not know that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so you'll be able to get that for free.
Nice, nice.
Yes. I'm kind of pumped. Speaking of Back to the Future, I already bought my ticket for Monday night. I won't be around this weekend to go and see it on Saturday at noon, but I did buy a ticket for Monday night for the 7 o'clock showing. So I will be seeing Back to the Future on the big screen. I love that.
That's awesome. That's like such a rare thing to be able to do. That's crazy. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
My big geek out, I have a couple actually, but my big geek out this week is Smallville because the current season is absolutely amazing so far.
I didn't want to. I actually should have mentioned that too. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Especially last week's was wow.
Yeah,
It's like the fourth episode of the season, and I'm already like, holy crap.
I know, right? Week before was like, eh, but this last one, even though a lot of people are saying it was just like a Christmas Carol episode and Green Arrow 5 was leading Clark around between all these like different time periods and showing him things, but whatever. It was awesome.
I loved it.
Yeah, we got a glimpse of future Clark.
That was one thing I did not expect, and I was pleasantly surprised. I was not expecting it, so.
And they're just dancing around the word Superman at this point. They really are. Like, we've seen the costume. I do like the new red jacket and everything with the S shield and all that. So I want to see it in action now, though, because
And it's been like two episodes now where he's just kind of had it, but he hasn't used it in action yet.
We've seen him in it twice, and it's kind of like a tease, but we haven't seen him like going super in it. I really want that to happen soon. So Smallville's been unbelievable. That's a huge geek out right now. I'm also geeking out over, somewhat selfishly, some of our new show bumpers, which you'll be hearing throughout this episode, because I did interview John Schneider and TNA Knockout Tara. So I have bumpers from both of them. And I don't even want to say who the other bumper is from yet, because I just want people to hear it and just be like, whoa, that's awesome.
I still can't believe it.
That's awesome. So we'll come back from that one after the first commercial break, but listen in for the bumpers because I thought they were awesome. And everyone that recorded them was really cool. So, and they
They
came
were
out well.
awesome.
Very pumped. So that's all my geek outs. Did you have any more on there?
No, I think that was pretty much actually kind of geeking out. Maybe it's sort of like a but I'm not sure is SmackDown versus Raw because 2011 comes out next week, so I always buy them every year. But I don't know, at this point I'm sort of just they're repetitive. I mean, people are like, why do you buy them every year? It's sort of like it's my one sports game that I sort of buy every year to keep up. But I don't know, I'm sure it may not be as like amazing as other games, but you know, that's my one thing I buy every year, pretty much. So,
Yeah, nobody seems to question the Madden purchase every year, but then they question
no,
the SmackDown. Yet there are more changes in the WWE from year to
yeah,
year
it's
than
like,
NFL.
yeah, it's like the roster changes at least. I mean, but yeah, and it's just like, oh, so Madden again, yeah, Madden, but those, yeah, people love buying those, but yeah, whatever.
It's funny too, because you watch the trailers for SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 that's coming out, and so much stuff is outdated already.
Oh, I know. That's the funny thing. I mean, I don't. Did you read that RVD's in it? And I'm just like, what?
He is?
Yep. You didn't hear that? He basically apparently signed a Legends contract before he signed with TNA, so he is actually in the game as a legend.
No kidding.
I wish I
Wow.
was. I just read that and I was just like, what the hell? It's gonna be so weird. But yeah, and Mickie James is still in the game as well. So go
Right,
figure.
yeah. With a lot of people that are moving over are still in it. I mean, Matt Hardy just got released. He's in the game. Finley, we haven't seen on TV, and who knows how long he's in the game. So it's always funny to have those things, but it's kind of cool that we'll be getting a lot of the more current roster in
Exactly.
upcoming
That's what I was looking
DLC.
forward to.
I'm in the same boat with you. I already pre-ordered it. There was only one year I skipped, and I think that was like 2008 or something, where it just really had all these glitches in the
Oh
season
yeah, I
mode.
remember that one. Yeah, people, that was the one where I forget what the exact glitch was, but I like remember playing it and if like you hit someone with a chair, the announcers call it like a choke slam. Like there was like really bad glitches in it, like really, really bad.
Yeah, and supposedly if you got injured during the season mode, you just held that injury forever, which is insane. The game sounded unplayable to me, so I really didn't buy that one. But
It was pretty close.
But I'm geeking out over that a little bit too. And it's odd that I'm losing interest so much in current WWE TV because I'm about 3 weeks behind and I
And
almost
you've
don't
missed
care
everything.
anymore. I really don't care anymore. And that's such a different world for me because I've been just insane about it over the last like 6 or 7 years to the point where I had to get in the business myself. And it's been nuts. But I really am losing interest in the current WWE. And the thing that spurred my interest in it at the beginning was the second SmackDown game, I believe. So I'm hoping in a way that the game almost reignites my interest in the current product.
Well, it's funny because I've always said that sometimes I think it might have been last year or the year before, some of the storylines in the game are better than some of the storylines they've used on TV. And I'm like, well, why don't they just get the people who write the video game to write the freaking TV shows? Because it's just like there's been a couple of times in the game where I'm like, wow, that was really cool. I wish they had done that storyline in real life. But
so. Yeah, I don't want to get into too much of a wrestling
no,
tangent.
Sorry.
No, no, it's I was leading into it anyway. But we really don't talk wrestling a ton on the show, even though we do have a wrestling interview later on. But that's beside
that's
the
okay.
point.
It's a little tease.
Yeah. So freakouts.
Yes.
Oh, freakout!
Go ahead.
I'm trying to think. There was one I had, and I don't remember what it was, and it's drawing a blank. There hasn't been too many freakouts. I mean, I guess freakout is Wizard World New England was a shoddily planned, organized, and everything convention. That's my freakout. But we'll go into detail later. But that's my freakout.
Yeah. There's a lot to. I don't even know that's if there's much. A lot to discuss about it. Honestly,
no, we're probably just gonna be like, yeah, we got some interviews, and yep.
Outside of like maybe two or three highlights, it was kind of
was
a bummer.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my freak out, my first one is No Ordinary Family. Have you been watching that at all?
I have not. See, I heard mixed things. I heard someone say the pilot was incredible, but I haven't seen it. And I don't know. I don't have any desire to, because someone said it was pretty much just like, it's like the Fantastic Four meets the Incredibles on TV and in a family show. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen it. So have you seen it? Is it?
I have. Your description's very accurate of it being.
Oh, is it actually? Yeah,
it
I
is.
Seen it,
but. Of it being like the Incredibles, Fantastic Four, live action, family oriented, all that stuff.
Yep.
It's okay, and I want so badly for it to be really good, and I think that's why I'm freaking out about it. I'm still hanging in there. There are four episodes in. I've watched the first three. I have the fourth one ready to watch. That I'll probably watch tonight. And I really hope there is potential there. I'll say that much. There's absolutely potential, but they're moving at such a slow pace. Like, compare this to Heroes in a way you can't help but do because there are so many similarities between the two. Think about all the things that happened in a Heroes episode, and it was just like boom, boom, boom. And by the end of it, you were blown away.
Yeah.
In this, it takes so long to get to any really exciting thing.
Yeah.
That. It's just really dragging. And the things that are big and dramatic for the show, in reality, for a superpowered comic book fan and world, they're not as big as they should be.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think they're trying to cater this to more like it's a show that the whole family can enjoy, and you know, not just comic book geeks. And you know, and I that's fine. I mean, I don't think it's for me because I think I would be the same way where I'd just be like, where the heck is this thing going to pick up? Like, you know, get into some sort of like storyline and action that I can follow, like care about. But
yeah, they absolutely need to pick up the pace.
Yeah, because I like Julie Benz and I like Michael Chiklis, and I mean they're good actors, but I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out eventually, but it's not on my. I got so many things in my DVR already that I can't even fit it in. So
yeah, one of the funniest things about the show, and I always find it hysterical when they do this, is when they have siblings that look nothing alike, not at all. Like I don't know the names of the actors, but the person who plays the daughter and the son.
Yep.
In I don't know in what universe they're considered biological siblings. I really don't.
Now that you mentioned, I do remember from the teasers I see in the photos, they do not really look much alike.
Yeah, it's really odd. You could say that the daughter looks like she could biologically maybe be a daughter of Chiklis and Benz. The son, I don't know. And he's not even that good on the show, honestly. He kind of bothers me. I don't know. I don't really like him at all.
I just think it's funny he's gone from The Shield, which was like critically acclaimed, and now he's like to this, and I don't know. It's kind of funny career choice. But.
I just think it's funny that he's playing a very similar role to The Thing.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, it's pretty much, wow, he's super strong and invincible. Wow. Awesome.
Oh, good. You've done this before. And in a very Fantastic Four type origin. Wow. This is really, really a far leap for you.
Yeah, so.
So, I'm going to give it, I don't know, maybe a week or two. I don't know how long I'm going to hang in there. I watch shows that are way worse, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I don't, has it been doing good in the ratings? Have you heard? I don't even know. I think I heard a pretty good the pilot week, but I haven't been following the ratings on it, so.
Yeah, I don't pay that much attention to ratings, honestly. When they cancel a show, it's usually a shock to me because I have no idea how it's been doing.
Did you hear about they cut down the episodes of V to 10 episodes for this season?
Oh, really?
Yeah, ABC just randomly decided that like yesterday or the day before. They just want to, is when it starts, it's just like, yeah, you cut down to 10 episodes. So I have a feeling that show is not long for this world.
That's too bad. I haven't
Yeah.
watched it at all, but.
I haven't either, but I mean, I've heard it's a good show and I wanted to get into it, but you know what? It's like, wow, another show they're going to cancel after like a season and a half.
Yeah,
So,
we.
but.
Well, my other freak out is I was talking to some friends the other day, and every now and then when I'm in a conversation with friends, they'll ask me a question because I've become so, I guess, I don't necessarily know if I necessarily want to call myself an expert, but I am kind of saturating myself in this whole media news and all that stuff with the site and whatnot. So I'm a constant target of questions for all the stuff that's going on. And they asked me all these questions. I'm like, oh, well, I talked about that on this show or this show or this show. So I'm slowly learning that none of my friends are actually listening to this. And if my friends aren't even listening to this, then I don't know who is listening to this. Our listener base is fairly the same. And for those that are listening, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that you are.
Oh,
Because
definitely.
if some of my best friends won't even bother listening to my own show, it's what, an hour and a half a week.
Yeah.
And it's something you don't even have to put your full attention into. You can leave it on in the background.
Yeah, it's definitely not, we're not talking like super intellectual, philosophical like things where, you know, you have to put your mind into it, so.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to sit on the couch and give it your full attention like watching horrible reality television,
That
but
everyone loves, yeah.
leave it on in the background, leave it on in your car if you have an iPod, anything like that. I mean, come on, give me a chance.
I mean, I don't know. I love podcasts. I mean, the thing with me is like if you're going to the gym, if you're going on a long car ride, you're driving to work, what better time than to just pop in something and listen to it? So
Yeah.
that's my plug.
I'm wondering, in a way, I know some of my friends are not as technologically inclined as I am, even though it's fairly easy to
Simple to,
download
yeah.
and listen to
Yeah.
podcasts and everything. A lot of people just don't want to learn the process. And that's
Could be.
fine, whatever. But a lot of them are. And it's very simple to do, even if you just go to the website and hit
Seriously,
play.
and just hit play. Yeah, just let it. Yeah, it's not exactly. You don't even have to download it to anything.
Yeah, so the more I learn that from some of my friends, the more it bums me out. But I'm going to stay here doing the show for the fans that really appreciate it. So
Oh,
don't worry,
yeah.
guys. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I can pretty much say the same thing. I have a lot of friends. I'm like, yeah, I do. I've hosted a podcast from Switch. I want to do it. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then they never do. So, I mean, barely. I know I have a couple of friends that actually visit the website fairly regularly, but I don't think they even actually listen to the podcast. So
Yeah.
I don't know what that, the diff I don't know what the difference is. Like, you take the time to go to the website, but not listen to the podcast. But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it one way or the other. I clearly have way too many thoughts in my head that I have to vent out there, and just enough narcissism to keep me doing it. And like people actually care about what I have to say, so
There you go.
I'm gonna keep doing it one way or the other.
There you go.
But those are our geek outs and freak outs, and that leads us right into everybody's favorite geek generation game, which is top three.
Woohoo!
Three, two, one.
This week, once again, I'm gearing it towards the comic book realm for you. Although
Thank you,
last time
sir.
I went a little
Yeah.
television for you.
Yeah, you did, and you freaked me out, and I was like, I don't know. And
I
I got
think you're
all like,
expecting comic books.
I was, and you went left field, and I was like, what the heck? I don't even know.
All
So,
right, well, in the comic book realm,
yep.
I'm going to ask you what the top three best superpowers are.
Ooh, good question.
And this is, I know it's very expansive because there are
Yeah,
literally
you could
millions
there
of
could be
them
a
out
million
there.
different thousand answers.
Sure.
Obviously, it's personal preference, but to me, I've always been a fan of number one. I'm gonna go decreasing order. It may actually may not be in any order, but my primary one has always been super speed. Because as a kid, I was always fascinated with the Flash and the fact that he was able to run so fast, and I just thought that would be the coolest thing to be able to, you know, just go so fast and just appear somewhere a second later. Even kind of like Superman and Smallville, Clark Kent, same sort of deal. I've always thought that was cool. As I was younger, I was more into flight, but as I got older, I'm kind of like, eh. It would be wicked cool to try, but I don't know if I'm like. I guess I can't think. I don't know. A flight isn't as big as it used to be. And
As far as speed goes, would you be satisfied with like a Quicksilver level speed, or are you talking like you want Speed Force abilities?
I'd be satisfied with Quicksilver, but hey, yeah, Speed Force, why not? If you can do it, why not? But yeah, I'm trying to think of my third one. I don't know. I think this is kind of a cheap cop out, but I think it's not even really a superpower because web slinging isn't. He doesn't I mean, unless you go with the Ultimate Spider-Man who has the organic web shooter. Or no, he doesn't even have the organic. Movie Spider-Man who has the organic web shooters. I just thought like web slinging would be kind of cool in like New York City. It would be really fun. But I know it's kind of a cheap cop-out because usually he builds them and they're not really superpowers. But I'm going to give you a cop-out for that.
Did they not write the organic web shooters into the comics? I thought they did.
They did at one point, but then when they did the whole – I'm going to get really geeky. When they did the whole breaking up the marriage of Spider-Man and Mary Jane, when he came out of that after he made a deal with the devil, his organic web shooters were mysteriously gone. And he was back to his old web shooters that he had built. So they have never really explained what happened, but they're sort of like, that was a bad idea. We're not going to ever reference it again. Much like his other spider powers where he had gotten weird like talons that shot out of his wrists and weird stuff like that. So yeah, they brought him in for a short time, but other than that, they really haven't. Or it was like a three or 4 year period. But
why would they think the organic web shooters was a bad idea?
I think it was the fanboy backlash that, you know, since the beginning he's always had the web shooters, and even in the Ultimate Universe he built the web shooters, or his dad had the web formula. And I don't know, I guess it was more like the movies. I think they felt that the movies did it, they feel that they had to do it for a short while. But no, I think, I don't know, they've seemed to be okay. And I always think the organic would be more smart, because it's just sort of like, yeah, the 16-year-old kid came up with these web shooters and the ability to make this web formula out of, yeah. And yet he never does anything else beyond that with like his scientific ability, really. So
yeah, it makes way more sense to have the organics. And they've gone with future mutations with Spider-Man before, so why not just keep that? I think it makes more sense. And yeah, think about like the 90s cartoon. How many times was the big problem in any given fight that he ran out of web fluid?
Oh, they still do that. I think that was part of the problem, because like, oh, look, he ran out of web shooters at the worst possible time. He's falling like that. I think you can't have that dramatic narrative. But I mean, how many times can they do it where it's just to the point now where it's laughable? It's like he forgot to bring extra web cartridges with him.
That's such a cheap crutch to fall back on all the time. Like, I don't really, I can't think of a creative problem to come up with here. So, hey, he's going to run out of web fluid again. That's lame.
Pretty much. So, but yeah, that's my cheap cop out for the third one.
All right. So web shooters, flight and super speed.
Super speed. Yep.
Good call. I'll give mine, but
yeah, go for
next
it.
Week.
Oh, okay. All right. I was like, go for it.
All right. I'll give mine because it's going to be part of our poll question this week. So.
Oh, okay, nice.
But before we go into our first break, I am going to remind the fans that I am looking for your top three category ideas. If you do have one, please send it into podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or hit me up on @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you want to aim it at a certain co-host, feel free to do that too. I would love to get ideas. I mean, I already begged for the poll questions, and I haven't gotten any top three category ideas yet, but I'd love to hear some.
Yeah, do it. It's so easy to come up with anything you can think of.
Yeah, really anything, literally. TV, seriously. Movies.
Yep.
If you want to get just totally ridiculous and ask something way off the cuff that has nothing to do with anything, why not?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Absolutely. All right, well, we are going to head into our first break now. Stay tuned for the very end of it, and you'll hear our very first special bumper, which I'm so pumped about.
Woohoo, I am too.
And it's not even playing yet. We're already geeking out. So listen for that, and we'll be back in just a moment.
We all know the best podcast in the world is
The Geek Generation.
But what you might not know is there are other ones, such as...
Like you and me, Hector and Todd. Dangerous Memory.
That's right.
We're reviewing the AFI Top 100, and we're bringing you new episodes every Wednesday. Come check us out on www.hectorandtodd.com.
Hello, listeners. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Well, then I have good news for you, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You have spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hi, this is Charisma Carpenter, and you're listening to The Geek Generation. Yes, you are.
We are back, and yes, that was the voice of Charisma Carpenter that you just heard, and I am so freaking excited.
Geek out,
she did that. Super geek out. That's just one of the highlights that came out of Wizard World New England for me, and I still can't believe that.
I don't know how you pulled it off.
I can't believe she agreed to do that. I was in the line for the autograph. I went up, and I had my recorder out. I didn't want to be wearing it and look like some weirdo with earbuds on while I'm meeting someone for an autograph. So I had it in my pocket, and I got the autograph, and I talked to her for a sec, and I was just like, hey, could you do a quick bumper for my show? And she seemed willing, but they always have to check with the company that's representing the signing or whatever.
Yeah.
So she does a quick glance over to the rep that was with her, and I thought this was dead end. This is where it stops.
Shut down.
The rep was just like shoulder shrugging, all right, why not? So she's like, okay, cool. So I gave her the card that I had prepared, and she did a little read with a little improv in there, and
awesome.
So happy. That was worth more to me than the autograph. But the autograph is also very nicely framed on my wall, my wall of autographs that's slowly growing, which I'm loving. So it's about time to go right into listener emails then.
Sweet.
Before I get into the actual poll question that we asked last week, I did get one email from a former co-host, Anna Zifkak, who's been going back on some of our episodes and kind of catching up. She wrote a very lengthy response, so I'm not going to read the entire thing, but since she did take the time to answer some of our past poll questions, I figured I would take the time to read some of them on the air. So that's what I do. If you take the time for me, I take the time for you. Look at how that works. So Anna Zifkak writes in, so although I realize you most likely won't read this on the show, here it goes. Hottest female comic book character, Catwoman. Enough said. Best original movie villain, Maleficent from... Wait, am I saying that right? Maleficent,
yep,
right? Okay.
Yep, awesome.
From Disney's Sleeping Beauty. I realize this is an ancient fairy tale. However, it isn't a comic book or a book, so I'm saying that it counts. She freaking terrified me when I was little. She can turn into a dragon first off. And what could be more badass than that? And Eleanor Audley, who provides her voice, is one of the best voice actresses of all time. She is, in my opinion, the most iconic villain that has ever been on screen. Best old school NES game. Sue me, but I love Duck Hunt. It is so goddamn addicting. I could play that game for hours, and the dog doesn't annoy me because I don't miss, baby. Also, and this was, we had in just conversation talked about the use of PS in PostScript and what the proper syntax is for that. And she said also the correct recurrence for PS is PPS, not PSS. It stands for PostScript, then PostScript. Much like Bill and Ted's non-non-heinous, get it? So the next abbreviation in the sequence would be PPPS. You keep adding P's, not S's. So, listeners, you actually learned something here today, too. We don't just talk your head off, we teach.
You be learning.
I feel like I should have a The More You Know star.
Yeah, now you know.
G.I. Joe!
So she did have some more other things about just conversations we've had through the episodes, and I'm not going to get into all that because it was much longer and I don't want to derail too much, but to get back to last week's poll question, which Spidey villain do you want to see in the reboot movie? We know already that Ricey Fiennes has been cast as the villain in the Spider-Man reboot. Rumor has already started that yes, he will be playing Dr. Kurt Connors. And yes, I recorded this or that last episode where I stated that he would be the Lizard before it started breaking as rumor. So pat on the back, I'm right again, as I always am. That's right. As I always am. I have yet to be wrong yet, and I know it's going to be a big problem when I eventually am, but until that happens, I'm just going to ride this wave. Keep going. So first one that came in was from G1. He says the Humbug. He was once voted as the worst villain of all time. I don't even know who the Humbug is. Who is he?
I sadly do, and I don't even know why you would ever... I get it's a joke, but that would be like the... Oh, my God.
Care to enlighten? Who is it?
I think he's had like two appearances in the entire like Marvel universe.
Is he like a Christmas-themed villain?
He was not. He was just a crappy like insect-like character that was just terrible. Terrible.
All right, well, clearly G1 was cracking wise.
Yeah.
The next one comes in from Ryan Higgins and says, hopefully everyone says the Lizard since that's what they're getting. That's not really an answer. That just says...
No, it's sort of like, I know what it's going to be and it will be.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he wants to see the Lizard and that's his way of saying that. I don't know. Maybe. Next response in from Robin Streb-Landman. She says, I know I don't want to see that stupid Sandman. That didn't even make any sense. I think Octoman or whatever was great.
I'm sorry.
I know. And I read the same thing. And Robin, really?
Sounds like something from The Simpsons, like Octoman. I don't know.
I laugh because I know you don't follow the superheroes as much as we do, but if you're going to write into a show that has just geek oozing out of it,
and especially if you have me on as co-host, I'm just going
to
laugh.
Right. You might want to take the 2 seconds in Google to figure out what his actual name is.
I like Octoman. I'm going to use that from now on. Spider-Man versus Octoman. Coming next in Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. You know what? I'm even going to say, Robin, go on Wikipedia, please, right now, because you are probably at your computer listening to this.
This is your homework. You have to do this.
Yes. Go to Wikipedia, look up Dr. Octopus, please, and I would like you to write me in for next show and tell me what his actual real name is, too, because we're just going to learn that, because then you're not going to forget it ever.
You know, I would have even taken if she said Doc Ock, which would have been such a shorthand, but I would have even taken that. I mean,
sure.
That's fine.
Sure. So I'm giving homework now.
Yeah, there you go.
I think the teacher in me is really coming out in this episode. Yeah. I'm teaching and I'm giving homework. But we'll continue. The next one comes in from superfan Chris Tong out of Wichita, Kansas. He says, why not go back to day one and face off against Chameleon? Then you can bring in Kraven as well. It only makes sense to start from the beginning and work your way into some kick-ass sequels. Just my 2 cents. I kind of like the choice of Chameleon.
It would be good, but I don't know for a mainstream audience if they would. He's not on a level enough, though. I don't know. I could see it, but I mean, he would be kind of. You definitely need someone else besides him because he just wouldn't have the. I mean, he's dangerous, but it's hard to. I don't know. Visually, he would be able to. I mean, yeah, he can change to other people, but I don't know.
I think it would make sense actually a lot to have Chameleon and Kraven in the same movie because you could have Kraven hunting Spidey, and then Chameleon is on the other side impersonating him, and it's just this whole mess.
But they'd have to definitely redesign Kraven and modernize him. Because, I mean, I'm just picturing the 60s Kraven running around with his lion mane and his 2 lasers that come out of his lion eyes on the screen, like, with throwing nets on people and stuff. And I'm just like, it's going to be like Batman, 60s Batman bad.
And yeah, I would still love to see it. Next response comes in on the Twitter from @JackieSG. She says, real Venom, not stupid-ass geeky-weeky Venom.
I don't understand people's things with that. I mean, that movie had a horrible problems with it, but Venom I didn't think was one of them. Oh no, he didn't look beefed up like Venom in the comics. So what? He's supposed to be the anti-Spider-Man. I don't get it. But that's just me.
I get what they were going for, and it's okay that he wasn't like super beefed up.
Yeah.
My issue was that he was barely in it.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, I still think they should have ended the movie with the costume falling on Eddie Brock and then just cut it there and then, you know, have him in the next movie as the whole movie. They could have just introduced Eddie Brock through this movie as a character, and it would have been much more, I think.
I agree. Although we would have never seen Venom that way because it clearly got rebooted.
They would have never seen it, so we're kind of screwed either way.
Yeah, although I think it's more so that we got a weaker version of Venom in such a horrible movie, and that kind of all just blends together.
To me, it was just like, it was a bright spot in a horrible movie. So I guess that's probably the way I look at it. But yeah, I can see other people like, I mean, I thought like, you know, seeing Venom on the screen, considering that was the first Spider-Man character I ever saw when my first Spider-Man comic was Venom. So that's like a big thing to me. But
yeah. Next response in from @ToddTizzle, who is Todd Tiuli from Dangerous Memories. Does it count that I don't really care? I want to see Andrew Garfield, but I'm not super pumped for this flick.
So am I. I'm right in there. I mean, just reading that it's going to be like PG and it's going to be like, I don't know.
It's going to be PG.
Yeah, supposedly that's the rumor. They're leaning towards PG. And it's definitely going to be in 3D. And I just have just like horrible visions of it being like really dumbed down for like, not to say if the others were like adults, but you know what I mean? I just have a feeling that it's going to be dumbed down for like the preteen crowd. And I'm just going to be like cringing the whole time and being, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, but God, I'll take that over whatever they're going to give me soon.
Yeah.
So I just have a bad feeling. But you never know. I might be surprised.
I am not as excited about the reboot as I was the current series, but after Spider-Man 3, anything else is just fine.
As long as Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire isn't dancing like a weirdo, that's fine with me.
Yeah. And since Todd took the second to write in, I'll say go visit HectorandTodd.com. Listen to some Dangerous Memories, too. Not like they need the plug from us.
No.
We need way more help than they do. Yeah.
Please help us.
The next response from @PoeJalumbo, who is clearly Joe Palumbo in almost a reverse form, says, Carnage. Sadly, that will never, ever happen.
Oh, they'd never do. It would be so hard to do. And plus, you can't have Carnage carving people up and being a serial killer unless you were like rated R. So
yeah, they'll never make it to Venom again, let alone do Carnage.
No.
I would love to see a Carnage movie, especially like the Maximum Carnage angle or something.
That would be great.
But you're right. It would have to be R-rated for Carnage to be, or he would be so watered down that people
would just
hate
be like
him.
Another Venom, like on the 90s cartoon, where he was just like, look, it's Carnage. He's a little more violent than Venom, and he's pretty much just a red Venom. So
right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are our listener responses. So it is time to go right into news. Top story this week, Green Lantern's power battery revealed. The Daily Blam released the first photo of the power battery that will be featured in the upcoming Green Lantern movie. Clearly, I can't show you it on the podcast, but if you head over to thegeekgeneration.com, you can take a look at that picture. And I looked at it, and it matches the terrible, organic look of the costume shot that we previously saw. And my first question was, when is Hollywood going to learn that the best approach is to stay as accurate to the source material as possible?
See, I'm going to be a little argumentative with you.
Go because, for
you
know, it. Bring it on.
I kind of felt the same way initially, but then, you know, the more I thought about it, it's like it's only a power battery. And, like, I think you said at the end of the article, I mean, who knows what's going to happen through the movie? I mean, it's one shot. What happens if at the end he decides to make it more Earth-like and it becomes – and, I mean, plus they're trying to say it's an alien power battery. So why would it – I never really got the fact why would it look like an Earth's, like, battery lantern. I mean, I understand it, but, I mean, I'm not thrilled with it. But, you know, I think there's a lot more important things to worry about in the movie than, you know, what the power battery looks like. And even if that's going to be the power battery through the entire movie. But that's just me.
I guess one of my big gripes is that every time something is alien lately, it has this weird, veiny, organic look.
Yeah.
And it's so overdone. Like, why can't an alien race have human-looking things?
True.
If we have it, then what are the... Like, clearly, we're the only ones with human-looking things, and every other alien race has veiny, organic stuff. Because that's the pattern.
Yeah.
So, but I did say in the article, and you mentioned it real quick, I am hoping that maybe this is the initial alien looking battery, and by the end of it, GL decides that the suit and the battery need to be more humanized because he's protecting Earth primarily, and he decides to make those changes.
Or it could even be the one he finds initially in the ship that's Abin Sur's in the ship, and then when he becomes Green Lantern, it could change. I mean, you don't know. I'm being wicked optimistic, but I mean, I could be completely off, but you never know. So I think it's gonna be a wait and see. I mean, there's a lot of good people behind this movie that actually love the comic. I mean, Jeff Johns is pretty much making sure that this movie is going to be as close to the comic book source material as it can possibly be. So, I mean, I have a good feeling, but you never know. I could be completely wrong, and I'll probably be never reference that I ever said any of this stuff ever again.
I'm just really trying to be positive about the whole thing, even though they keep throwing these kind of roadblocks in my way.
True.
Next story, Netflix application is now available for PS3. The disc-free Netflix application for PlayStation 3 became available for download this past Monday. Sony has said the PS3 system will be the first consumer electronics device to support 5.1-channel surround sound for Netflix's streaming library of movies and films. Some media will also be viewable in 1080p, and an increasing number will feature subtitles or alternative audio tracks. The app also features a fancy search option that allows users to update their regular queue. Sounds like PS3 is getting the best of the bunch.
Sounds like it. Oh, wait. No one likes the PS3. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I have a PS3 and I always feel like it's being shit on by everyone.
It is. I don't know why. It's the best system.
Blu-rays. We don't need Blu-rays. Why would you want to see anything in good quality? I'm like, I was trying to have an argument with my friends at a party last weekend. I'm like, dude, you know, the quality, if I watch a movie in Blu-ray and then I try to watch a normal movie afterwards, like, I get so conditioned to Blu-ray, I can't even watch normal movies anymore, and it irritates me.
Yeah.
Which is, so.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I don't want to kind of rant, no ranting, I'm not.
Are you kidding? The show's all about ranting, that's all we do.
It'd be like a 2-hour episode, I would just go off for PS3 for like 2 hours. But I won't.
But I downloaded it the other day and I started playing around with it, and it's really cool, actually. Very good app. They did a nice job with it. I haven't watched anything yet, but I'm assuming that will work very fine.
We hope.
Yeah. Next story I'm actually very excited to report. There will be no 3D for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Thank God. Warner Brothers Pictures released the following, quote, "We will not have a completed 3D version of the film within our release date window. Despite everyone's best efforts, we were unable to convert the film in its entirety and meet the highest standards of quality. We do not want to disappoint fans who have long anticipated the conclusion of this extraordinary journey. And to that end, we are releasing our film day and date on November 19th, 2010, as planned." End quote. So, layman's terms, translations, they tried to make the thing 3D.
It didn't work.
Couldn't do it in time. And now they're going to release it in just 2D, which is what they should have done anyway. And you know what?
Yeah.
That's a huge argument in the favor of never doing 3D, because if it's not going to affect your movie that much, why the hell did you even do 3D in the first place?
Because it's the new in thing, and movie execs and all the studios are so stupid, you know, right now, to think that everything has, every single movie is being greenlit, is automatically being, well, can we do it in 3D? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be the shittiest low budget horror movie. Can we do it in 3D? You know, that's the gimmick. And it was gimmick worked in the early 80s, but I mean, I just don't see it. Is there really a need for all this 3D stuff? I don't think so. Because then once you translate it to you're at your house, nobody's watching anything in 3D in your house. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's even more so just about the ticket sales than it is the gimmick at this point, because they're going to make more box office.
Yeah, we can charge $12, $13 now instead of,
sure. But I'm pumped. I really had no plans in seeing it in 2D, so the fact that it's only going to be, I mean, I had no plans of seeing it in 3D, right. So the fact that it's not going to be out there in 3D, I could care less about, and I'm actually excited about. Next story is another kind of exciting one, especially for Whedonites. Nathan Fillion wants to play Nathan Drake.
Ooh, that would be awesome. That's like the perfect.
Oh, yeah.
That would be like I can't even describe. I mean, the character even model looks pretty much just like him.
Yeah, it really does.
Like the picture, if you go to the website, there's a picture side by side, and it's kind of eerie how close they look like each other.
Yeah, he tweeted out to his followers to basically start the campaign because he wants Nathan Drake in the upcoming Uncharted movie. And I agree, I think that's a great casting. I would love to see him in the role. Actually, I really wanted him to play Green Lantern because I thought he would be better at it than Ryan Reynolds, but since he didn't get that. And then there's that amazing fan-made Green Lantern trailer out there Nathan Fillion in the role. And after seeing that, to me, he had to be Lantern, but I will absolutely take him as Nathan Drake because that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 Fan Access DLC program has been announced. The Fan Access will enable WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 owners to obtain select downloadable content released throughout the life of the video game for a one-time anticipated purchase cost of either 800 Microsoft points or $9.99 on PlayStation Network. The downloadable content will include a number of playable WWE Legends, WWE Superstars, and WWE Divas, alternate ring gear, playable arenas, and WWE Superstar Attribute Customizer, instant access to all unlockable content, and an in-game badge to recognize the video game's biggest supporters. I think this is a really smart move.
I was just going to say, if you're already throwing $60 down on the game, why not spend an extra $10 and you get, I think it's a really cool idea. I mean, I'm down for it.
I would love them to go even one step further. They've clearly, I'm not going to go over all the things and the packages that they're releasing. That stuff's on the website if you want to go take a look at it. But I would like them to take it even a step further and say that this is the flat rate for any DLC we release for this game, period. I don't know if that's the case. Maybe I'm interpreting this all wrong.
I think that's what they're saying, because it says that it's throughout the life of the video game. No, you're right, it's a select. So I don't know, maybe not, yeah.
Right, I think they're wording it as the life of the video game, but this is the only DLC they're planning on.
So
if they decided on future DLC that maybe they didn't have on the agenda yet, am I going to have to pay more for that, or is that part of this fan access program? But
the thing is, usually they haven't usually done more than two or three per game, so I'm thinking this will probably be pretty much it. I'm thinking, unless, I mean, I always think they should have like an updated roster every, like, I know that would be hard to do because, you know, the time from planning and stuff, but I mean, I don't understand, you know, that in the future, like, I mean, maybe all the baseball and football games have that, like, you know, you can update the rosters and everything, but
Yeah, the only, and cost-wise, it doesn't even seem that different. I think the individual packages added up is like $9.99.
Yeah, it's exactly. So you're pretty much not, it's not like you're saving, but it's not like you, why bother doing it independently, I mean, separately.
Right. I don't know. So I think it's a great idea to make that kind of a package, and I would love to see other video game developers say, if you want to pay for all the future DLC, we're not entirely sure what it's all going to be yet, but we're going to charge this flat rate. And we'll guarantee at least this, but if we go further with it, then it's included as part of your package. That would be phenomenal. Yeah. And I bet you they would make more money that way.
Well, they're going to have to eventually, because I think one of the main things that pisses people off, and especially me, is when you buy a video game, example, last year's Force Unleashed, and then you see a year, like, or 2 years ago, I mean, and then like you see a year later, they come out with the Game of the Year edition, which has all the downloadable content already on the disc, and you feel like you got cheated out if you didn't download. So, I mean, I think to make both set of people happy, they're going to eventually have to do something like that. Where,
right.
So.
Yeah, I think it's a good move, and I really hope other games adopt that.
Yeah.
Next story, Marvel is bringing several properties to TV.
That's a huge story.
Huge story. According to a variety of news outlets, Marvel is currently in the process of bringing several of its properties to television in the near future. ABC is currently developing a new live-action Hulk series, while another Marvel property, Cloak and Dagger, is being developed for ABC Family. Although the focus appears to be on Hulk and Cloak and Dagger, The Punisher also has been selected and is being eyed as a cable play, but that is even further in the future. Hulk again on TV live action. I don't know. I feel like they've had a lot of missteps with the Hulk. I don't think they know how to treat him properly. I really liked the Edward Norton movie.
Oh, I loved that one. Yeah, I thought that was the best one. And I mean, I was a big fan of the 70s show. I just didn't, I mean, with their limitations back then, I thought it was fairly, I mean, it broke through to the mainstream. I mean, it was pretty, I mean, it's pretty much everyone knows that story, that version of the Hulk. So, I don't know, especially with the special effects nowadays, it's probably going to be interesting. I just don't know how the logistics of it are going to be. So,
right. I was wondering the same, because a lot of people complain about the CGI of the Hulk in the movies. In the first one, sure, he was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
In the second one, he looked amazing.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, the only problem is this is going to be if this is a weekly series. It's
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how they're going to pull a believable Hulk off with the budget they're going to have.
Or they can just always, you know, hire another bodybuilder and paint him green. No.
Someone's joking. Maybe that's what Batista's going to do since he left WWE.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Just paint him green and he can be the new live-action Hulk.
Terrible.
And Cloak and Dagger seems to be something they're constantly working on, too, in one form or another.
It's weird, though, because there's such obscure characters. I mean, the last one they had their own series was in the 1980s, and even that lasted like 20 issues. They're very obscure. I don't know. It's interesting. I just don't know if people even know that they are comic book. They probably think they're new characters that someone just created. It's an interesting thing. I mean, their storyline, their origin is very interesting. It'll probably make for a good TV show.
But it's also targeted for ABC Family.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, their origin is like two kids that were hooked on, that are experimented like with drugs, and then they get superpowers, and ABC Family? What?
and Cloak's not like the most...
No.
Like, heartening, I don't even know the word, but endearing character, I guess?
Yeah, I suck people into my dark void of a cape, and they never come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know. And I don't know if, I think you didn't post that, but I saw another link that had a bunch of other, there's like 10 to 15 other properties that they're trying to sell, which is, if you look at the list, there's some crazy stuff on there, like stuff, unless you're a really hardcore comic book fan, you wouldn't get excited about, but there's some crazy stuff on there.
Yeah, I took a look at that list and I didn't recognize half the stuff on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because, I mean, DC has always been seen as the, you know, they have their hooks in TV, and Marvel never did, and with the exception of cartoons, and, you know, I guess this is their Marvel's way of showing, you know, we got Disney now, so we can, let's see if we can put some properties on TV, so we'll see how it works.
Well, if anything, maybe that Disney money will give us a better looking Hulk.
That's what I'm thinking, I'm sure. Without Disney, they wouldn't have been able to pull this off, so.
Right, it's true. I haven't posted this yet, but it did get announced the other day that, or maybe not even the other day, I think it was
yesterday. I was just about to actually say it.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg being cast in a Crow reboot, which I don't think is the story. I think you were leaning towards something else Disney related.
Well, no, I was actually thinking of either that or the announcement of Disney buying out Iron Man 3 and Avengers from Paramount.
Right. That's what I figured. Well, yeah, you want to say that one? Go ahead.
Yeah, basically, it was announced yesterday. I forget the dollar amount, but Disney paid Paramount off so they could basically release, have the distribution rights to Iron Man 3 and Avengers. But Paramount will keep, Marvel Studios will still be releasing Thor and Captain America themselves. But now Disney will be releasing Iron Man 3. And I think they set a release date for 2013, which seems very too fast for me. But it's like a year after Avengers. But okay.
Right.
So
it'll be interesting to see a Marvel movie from one of the Avengers after the Avengers.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, I'm just like, you're rushing these Iron Man movies out like without even like giving it a chance to breathe. But
right, and Iron Man 2 suffered a little bit because of it.
I 100% agree with that. That's actually, yeah.
Yeah. But the other story I just mentioned, Mark Wahlberg being sought after for the lead in a Crow reboot, I guess I could call it.
I think it is a reboot.
And yet you don't really have to call it a reboot because
there's been so many different...
Right. That's the thing I don't think people really understand about the character of the Crow. It's not just this one guy or one girl. There's all these different graphic novels, and each one has a different Crow. It's just, that's just the way it works. The powers are really the character, and they just go with anyone, and then you got your story out of that.
They all have different backstories. But I think I read that this one is going to go back to the original movie storyline, which was the original graphic novel. Okay. But I'm not 100%.
See, I wish they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I know. Because, I mean, the first one was so perfect. I can't... like.
Not only because it was so perfect, but it's almost disrespectful to Brandon Lee, I think, to try and do that story again. I mean, the guy gave his life making that movie, literally.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I love Mark Wahlberg. I've said it before. Huge fan. I don't see him as the Crow.
No, I mean, let's be honest. He was in Max Payne, and that wasn't a good movie, so...
You didn't like Max Payne?
Oh, are you serious?
I liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, you're the first person I've ever talked to in my life that said they've liked that movie. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think that's okay.
How big a fan of you are of the games are you?
I played the games. I wasn't like a super over like I wasn't like one of my favorite franchises ever, but I mean, I enjoyed the games, but I just thought the movie was like way out there. I don't know. I didn't really.
See, I loved the games to the point where I think I played through the first one 3 times.
Oh wow.
And I thought it was visually one of the best video game conversions from the game to the movie. It maintained a lot of the same elements and the same feel and environments and all that. And I thought it was really awesome that the final scene in the movie was paralleled with the final scene in the video game. It took place in the same place and it was very similar. Yeah. So I thought as far as video game movies go, which you kind of almost have to put them in their own category like that.
Yeah.
It was one of the better ones, if not the best one. It was like that and Prince of Persia were like the two best video game movies in my mind.
Yeah, the video games movies are so tough though, because I mean, like half of them don't even follow the video game. They just like take certain parts of it and completely change it, aka Resident Evil or whatever. So I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So. I'm getting the sudden urge to change this week's poll question. I really am.
Hey, go for it if you want.
Yeah, I was totally going to ask something different, but I haven't said it yet, have I? No.
No, you didn't say it.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm going to change this week's poll question. I'm going to do it on the fly right now. Woo-hoo. Now that we're talking about it, I really want to know what everybody's favorite video game movie is. I don't think I've asked that in the past.
No, you haven't. And I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can judge them. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to answer the question. I'm just saying, you know,
there's different. I mean, I was comparing the look and the environment.
Yeah, I mean, visually,
and the feel and
I mean,
everything.
I mean, you can take it separately as just the franchise itself and redeveloping it. I mean, I don't know. There's 100 different like iterations of it tried different ways. So
yeah. So write me and tell me what your favorite video game movie is. Send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Total
I'll
on
mine.
The fly
I'll tell you
change
mine right now.
All right, go for it.
Super Mario Brothers. I was joking.
Oh, please.
Just that out.
Get out of here. There was nothing in common with those. Names, maybe, and that was it.
I don't even remember it. I saw it as a kid.
Oh, my God.
I just remember it was very terrible.
So bad.
So.
All right. Well, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back to talk a little Wizard World New England. So we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris, your host for Geek Tech Live, the biweekly podcast that showcases tech news, reviews of consumer products and games, and I even get to talk to some of the movers and shakers in the world of geekdom. Occasionally, I even throw in a rant or two. So drop on by to geektechlive.com. See you there. Somebody say-
Hi, this is John Schneider, you know, the Bo Duke guy, or the Smallville guy, Jonathan Kent. And you're listening to The Geek Generation. That's not my generation. That's your generation.
We are back, and welcomed back by Jonathan Kent. Very awesome. Happy about that as well. That's another one of those lovely bumpers I was geeking out about.
Just awesomeness. I can't even...
That guy's the coolest voice.
He's just so, like, it's so, like, I can't describe it. This is going to sound really weird, but it's, like, such a smooth, like... Like, I can't, it's just like a very pleasant voice to hear, I guess.
Smooth is the word. Smooth is absolutely the word. You just want to keep listening. It doesn't even matter what he's saying.
No, it's just like you could hear it, listen to him all day, and there's like, yeah.
Absolutely. So, we're talking Wizard World New England now. I was going to the event as press. I really only went on Saturday, and I was there for maybe all of 4 hours.
And you're lucky.
Yeah, and compared to being at New York Comic Con. I think I would have enjoyed it more if I didn't go to New York Comic Con the weekend before.
I don't know about that. Not sure.
Maybe not. But like I said at the show, we met up at the show and we're chatting a little bit. This really was the dirt mall of conventions.
I mean, I bought a 3-day ticket because, you know, my friends and I were like, oh man, they're doing a Wizard World here. We should go. And so, you know, I saw a couple of the people were announced, a lot of people from Buffy, and there's a couple big artists, and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. No, it wasn't. First of all, you know, I'm not disparaging people going to Wizard Worlds, but this was the biggest ripoff. I mean, they charged ridiculous amounts for everything. There was no food in the actual place. It was 10 times smaller than like the one they did in 2005. There's no organization. I was in four different Buffy lines in the span of like an hour, and people had no idea where they were going. There was no staff that was helpful.
Yeah, those autograph lines were just a hazard.
I was sitting in it, and then they're like, yeah, you have to go down there. I go down there, and someone's like, no, this is the James Marsters line. And I'm like, what? And then I'm walking around, and someone's like, oh, what line? No one knew what line was for what. No one knew where they were supposed to be. People were getting pissed off. It was an absolute disaster.
And then people were sitting down in line and getting yelled at because they were sitting and taking up too much space. Like, come on.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, my God. That was happening in my line.
God.
Terrible.
And then there was this, like, and then there was people in front of, and when I was waiting for my photo with Charisma Carpenter, there was two guys in front of me from Baltimore who had come down, and they were going to see the Patriots game on Sunday, and they're just like, what is wrong with it? Like, they had never seen a con, and they're like, they've been to like tiny conventions in Maryland, and they're like, I've never seen anything this disorganized. And I mean, it was just like, and I mean, plus on Saturday they had the whole presidential Obama Deval Patrick rally going on, where it was terrible because they treated the comic book fans like we were scum. At one point, one of the, and I'm not trying to start a political thing because I'm not, but one of the people from the rally that were running the rally came into the entrance of Wizard World, and they're like, what time does this foolishness end? And I was just like, you're gonna be kidding me,
dude.
And,
fuck them. They're gonna talk about comic books as being, yeah, seriously, just fuck them, because,
and I guess
that's bullshit.
At one point, like, we were trying to go to one of the panels, it was in room 103, and they had blocked off all the entrance to it. And had, because everyone was looking out the window trying to take pictures of Obama. And so we're like, hey, can we get in so we can go to the panel? And they're like, sorry, it's a security hazard. You can't come past here. And we're like, dude, we bought tickets. And they're like, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to come back later. This is a security hazard. And I was just like, I was ready to like start something. I was just like, this is absurd. We bought like money for these tickets and we can't even get into the panels now because. And I mean, I understand, you know, their word because of the president, but it's like they were looking down on us so bad, like it was like, who are these weird people at this convention, you know? And it's just, it was terrible. That was part of the problem. It, of course, that was not Wizard World's fault. But as to the convention itself, I mean, I happened to meet, Ethan Van Sciver was there, who's a great artist. He drew me an awesome, awesome flash sketch that was, and a bunch of my friends got sketches from him, and he was great. I met Charisma Carpenter, got a photo with her, which was awesome. But I mean, other than that, it was just, there was no substance to it. It was just like walking around looking at, like, you know, things that were there. And I mean, like, I've been to smaller conventions in Boston. Like, there was one, I think, 6 months ago, Jim Lee in Boston, that was bigger and had better control. And I mean, it wasn't even a Wizard World one. So I mean, I guess they've already made plans to come back next year in September because they don't want to fight New York Comic Con this year. But if it's any indication, I mean, I don't know. It just was terrible. Just terrible. I mean, if you follow comics, there was no one there from comics. Like, of course, everyone went to New York Comic Con. Every single big name was not there. There was no, Marvel and DC didn't even have any booths there.
Right.
Dark Horse, Image, no one was there. It was basically like it was the shunned little like Comic Con that originally Wizard's plan was to steal all the people from New York Comic Con and have them come to there instead. And of course, that plan didn't work.
Right,
so.
Right. And they even had like the Big Apple Comic Con the weekend before
exactly,
New York too.
Yeah, neither of those worked. So
yeah.
I mean, I'm glad I went. I had a good time with my friends, and it was great seeing you. And I mean, you got some great interviews and bumpers and stuff, but just overall, it was just disheartening to see. And then on Sunday, oh my, it was like a, thank God you, it was like dead. People started, the people there started packing up their stuff at like 2:30 and it didn't close till 5. There was just like no one there. It was just disastrous. So.
And speaking of the organization of the lines and stuff, like you mentioned before.
Yeah.
It was insane the fact that we were standing in line forever to wait and get an autograph with the Buffy people. Meanwhile, they had scheduled the photo shoot times and nobody told us. Like all of a sudden the line stopped and we didn't know what happened because people were leaving and going to do their photo appearances and photo ops and stuff. We didn't know what was going on, why the line wasn't moving. Why not schedule an autograph time and then have that end? And then the photo op time after that. So if you don't get in for the autograph time, sorry, you missed it. That's what New York does. They have so much stuff going on. You get in or you don't.
It was just, I mean, I loved my photo with Charisma Carpenter, but I mean, I probably should have gotten an autograph. It would have been cheaper. I mean, you walk into a room with four curtains. She's already standing in place. You basically put your arm around her. They take the picture and you're pretty much gone. The only reason she looked at me for 2 seconds because I was wearing my Joss Whedon is my master now t-shirt and she had never seen that. But I mean, it was just like so impersonal. Not to say that you need to, you know, but I mean, it was just disastrous the way it was planned. And they were gouging. I mean, like $200, it was like $60 for a picture with John Snyder. And I mean, some of these people, I think Wizard sets the prices half the time because they seemed like they were just trying to make money off anything. And it was just disparaging. I mean, it was a ripoff for most of the stuff. So.
Well, yeah, what I've always read is that the convention pays these celebrities to come and they get a flat rate and then they charge whatever they want for the autographs and the photo ops and that's how they make their money. So the celebrities have already been paid every extra signature. And really, if you go to a convention, I'm going to say this to everyone listening, if you go to a convention and the person is willing to sign all these things for you and they keep staying and they keep staying, it's really out of the kindness of their own heart because they've already been paid their flat rate. They're not getting any more money for staying later to sign your autograph. They're doing that just for you. So be very appreciative of that.
And I mean, not to compare and contrast, but I mean, I went the same Boston Comic Con I talked about that I went to 6 months ago. Amber Benson from Buffy was there, and she was at this one. And this one, she's such a sweetheart of a girl. She was they claimed that she was charging, I don't know, whatever she was charging for an autograph, I think $35 or whatever. At the one I went to 6 months ago, I mean, she was sitting by herself at a table. No one was there. I mean, you could go up to her. You could talk to her for like 45 minutes. She was like signing anything for free. I mean, and even my friend who went and met her this time, he's like, you could tell she felt really restrained. Like she's like, oh, can you get a picture with me? And like the people there, like she looked to like the people in charge and like shaking their head. Like they definitely were like really, you know, in control. And it's not a representation of these celebrities because a lot of people, I don't want to get the thing that I'm shitting on these celebrities, but it's just all Wizard World. So
yeah. It's normally the person who's running the convention. Yeah. And I have to say, being at Wizard World, granted, we did call it like the dirt mall of conventions compared to New York. The nice thing, and there's always the flip side, and you always got to look for the nice thing, is that it really gave us, or gave myself even, more access to the celebrities. I would have never had this time with these people at a larger convention. So the fact that it was smaller, I appreciate the fact that I was able to go in there and talk to John Schneider, and I was able to talk to Tara, and I even got a few minutes talking to Charisma Carpenter so she could do the bumper and everything. And I'm very appreciative of that because that's just the way that convention is structured. And I have to say again that every celebrity I met, insanely nice, insanely willing to talk to you for as long as you want to. And
poor Tara, I mean, Friday night she looked like she wanted to slit her wrist. She was, it's Sunday too, I don't think I saw one person. Again, Wizard made her charge $40 for a photograph, and I mean, let's be honest, the wrestling fans and comic book fans, as much as people think they fall in the same realm, there was not many wrestling fans there, so she kind of was just sitting there like just looking like really lost. And I think that's why she was so willing and happy to, you know, talk to you and I for like as long as she did. And, you know, I mean, Virgil was there, Greg the Hammer Valentine. And then on Sunday, the franchise, Shane Douglas was there, who just sat in a corner and no one talked to him. I mean, it was just like, it's so weird. They try to like combine the wrestling with the comic books. And
right.
I don't know.
Right. I mean, there is some spillover, but you could argue that there's some spillover with almost anything.
Yeah. I mean, just like poor Tara, she's got like her boobs hanging out and still no one go over to her. She's in her full wrestling outfit, and I'm just like, I felt so bad for her.
I think that's why nobody's going. People get intimidated, very much so.
So, but yeah, overall, I mean, you know, like I said, it was a mixed bag. I mean, I can't deny that it was cool having celebrities near me, but it wasn't exactly a great time for that. Much have rather gone to you made the right choice, sir, in going to New York.
Yeah, New York was pretty awesome. But, I mean, we got some great stuff out of Wizard World New England, and I should probably play some of that now, I suppose. So I did talk to John Schneider. The interview is literally like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. I am so far from a professional and was just nervous as all hell talking to John Schneider.
Though. I mean, I heard part of it, and I walked by and I heard part of it, but then you played it for, I mean, you honestly, you're not trying to boost your ego, but I mean, you did a better job. I would have been like, you at least made full sentences and actually asked them relevant questions.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But I was in awe, and I don't know if he could tell or not, but I felt like I was stammering and laughing and nervously.
You watch someone on TV for like 5 years and what plus or whatever, and then you see them in person, it's kind of like a shock to the system. It's not like a, hey, I see that person all the time. It's you have to feel some sort of,
yeah, I love the guy. He's Jonathan Kent. He's on one of my favorite shows of all time, and I've been watching. I mean, like, he feels like a second father in that way. You know what I mean? Like, you almost wish that was that Jonathan Kent was your dad. To meet him and talk to him was surreal, and I had a few questions in my head that I got out, but as soon as I left the interview, I was like, oh, I should have asked this and asked this, and that always happens, but just talking to him, I was starstruck, I'll say it. Yeah. But those 2 minutes, I'll play for you right now. I primarily wanted to talk to you about your recent return to Smallville.
Okay.
And how did it feel to return to the show that so wrongfully killed you off? Far too early.
So wrongfully killed me off. Yeah. Well, in their defense, I think that they never had any notion it was going to go past 5 years.
Yeah.
So I think they thought they killed me off toward the end.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
But 5 years later, it's still going. Unbelievable.
It is.
So it felt great. Felt like I'd never been away. As soon as I saw Tom walking up the road, as soon as he saw me over there working on the fence, was like no time had passed at all.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Yeah. And I was watching with a few friends the premiere. We had like a little premiere party and everything for Smallville, and tears in my friend's eyes when you showed up on screen.
How many times you hear that, Steve? Isn't it great?
I know. It's tremendous.
Really, really fantastic.
Yeah.
I like that.
I have to say, you and John Glover, those first few seasons, the two of you carried the show. No doubt. Carried the show. Really.
Well, thank you.
It's such a phenomenal.
Now, Annette's no slouch either. Annette was great.
Yeah.
Annette O'Toole, fantastic.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that very much. Yeah, I hope, hopefully I'll be back there a couple more times. But really back there. Apparently I was on it last night, but they were just recounting my death evening.
Oh.
So John Glover was on it last night, too.
Oh, I have a DVR. I was here last night.
That's why I haven't seen it, but that's what they said.
Yeah. So. You also have some music CDs here, too.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been working on?
New stuff on iTunes. You can find it on iTunes, yeah.
What kind of music are you playing?
Country or jazz.
Yeah?
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll make sure my fans will check it out.
I just signed one of my greatest hits album from 1987.
Excellent.
Yeah.
87. I was 6.
Thanks.
Geek. No problem.
You geek, yeah.
Thank you so much. So again, thank you to John Schneider for taking that very brief time with me. I was nervous as hell, like I said, but I just love the fact that he was like the nicest guy ever. And he, when I walked up to him originally, I had my Geek Generation shirt on, and he goes, oh, the Geek Generation. I love that. Love the name. So that was enough for me. I took that.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I was walking on a cloud for a little bit after that, but,
I just loved like the energy he put into the bumper. Like he was just so like, I don't know. I just heard it and I loved it. Not to say that the others weren't great too, but like like I said, I guess it's his voice. He's just awesome.
Well, yeah, it's his voice. I mean, he's clearly very good at his craft, as I said probably way too many times during the interview. But the guy's the man. He's awesome.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be more grateful or thrilled that he took those moments with us. But that being said, I also got a chance to talk to former WWE Diva Victoria, current TNA Knockout Tara, as she is now. And she talked to us for a little bit longer, about seven, eight minutes. And you were actually with me for that one.
Yeah.
So
it, I mean, she was just such a... I'm trying not to get into the wrestling, you know, mindset of realm. I don't want to, you know, confuse the audience. But, I mean, she was just so, like, open and, like, felt, like, really comfortable. Like, I've met wrestlers before, not trying to get interviews in, but, like, that are very, like, you know, trying to keep their character. And, you know, not to say that you should or shouldn't, but she was really down to earth and really open. You could tell she was just, like, really happy to talk and explain everything. And, I mean, she was just fantastic, I thought. And I pretty much just nodded my head the whole time. It was just like, yep, uh-huh, okay. So, no, Rob had some fantastic questions for her, though. He really did.
And while I felt a little more, not a little more, but I still felt nervous talking to her, I don't think I felt as nervous because as much as I say I'm in the business for doing, like, one show a month over the last 6 years and on the crappy independent circuits and stuff, at the same time, I feel like I'm a part of the wrestling family. And
that you are. I mean, you can't deny that no matter what.
Right. So I felt like I had more of a right to talk to her than maybe a lot of other interviewers. So I kind of, and she was awesome. She felt us, made us feel really comfortable. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, take a listen to that right now.
All right. Okay. So I'm here with Tara from TNA.
Yes.
And, I wanted to ask you, how has the move been from WWE to TNA?
Well, first of all, I didn't like your introduction. It's TNA Knockout Superstar and the best wrestler you've ever met in your life.
I'm sorry.
Tara Knockout. And, the transition was very, very pleasant. I've been there over a little bit over a year now. Mm-hmm. But when I did leave WWE, I really thought I was done. The travel was very rigorous. I had a good run. 11 years, that's great for a female wrestler, and didn't plan on going anywhere else. And then TNA called me when my three-month no-compete clause came up, and I first said, I can't do that travel. I cannot do it. And they're like, well, you can work 5 days a month. And I was like, really? Sweet. Let me think about it. Well, we kind of need to know tonight. So talked to my family, and you know, they were supportive, whatever you want to do. And it was awesome transition. I was a big fan of Awesome Kong and Gail Kim matches and ODB. So it was an easy, you know, the decision was very easy. And I love it. Unfortunately, they're not with us anymore, you know, with the company. And but now we have Mickie James with the company. But, you know, it's exciting. You know, Mickie James and I have really good chemistry in the ring, and I can go without talking to her before the match. We can have a kick-ass match, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I love it, and it's nice because they don't hire the cookie cutter girls. That it's very unusual talent, and which drew me to them, you know. And they had two girl segments per show, and so I think we're going to go back to that, having two girl matches a night.
Excellent.
That's the rumor that I hear. You hear just as much as I hear. I really, we're in the dark too.
Interesting.
But you know, we're looking forward to that.
How does it feel having more and more WWE talent moving over and
nice.
Getting to see those
well,
people
it's,
again.
Well, it's really nice because, you know, being in that business for so long, we're family, and it's no introductions. You know, we're all very tight, you know, really good friends. And
I know how it is. I've been on the independent circuits for 6 years.
Yeah,
myself,
so it's just you're seeing the same people. It's almost like a family reunion
it
almost,
really
right?
Is. Really.
And I'm very happy about it. And the more the merrier. It makes our division stronger. As long as we get the ones that can work in the ring, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that and seeing who they can hire out of the norm. I like the unusual characters, you know, not
sure.
Like the Nikki Rocks I'm a big fan of. And,
right. Actually, I know her.
Okay.
I've been on shows with her.
I would like to see her get signed. I don't know what's happening with that. I'm in the dark, too.
Right.
I just do what I'm told, go out there, do my spiel, kick some butt, and go back to the trailer.
Excellent.
You know what I mean? And watch the show from the backstage.
Sure.
You know? So
I know what that's like.
Yeah, right? You know. Then you know from the independent circuit.
Yeah. How did it feel to be on kind of the cusp of revolutionizing women's wrestling? Because you and Trish Stratus, the matches you two had were absolutely amazing.
It was,
and often stole the show.
We were off the golden era. That's what we like
to call
it. It was. Lucky for us, we got Fit Finley was our agent back there.
Right.
You know, he would put our matches together, and he was in charge of us. And as a joke, he got put in charge for the girl of the girls. And he was like, okay, you're going to give me the girls? I'm going to make them kick some butt just like the guys. And it was his fault. He made us too tough for the business, and we kind of had to slack back. This was told by our bosses that, you know what, we can't have the girls doing what the guys do so much. That's what I heard.
And I was
we kind of
like
had
the,
to. Oh my God, I know.
That was the best time.
It was the best. And both, I mean, all of us back, like, you know, you break someone's nose, that happens. This is not ballet.
Sure.
And her and I had a deal, whatever it takes to entertain the fans.
Right.
And, you know, we hurt each other quite often, like the Chicago Street Fight, the hardcore matches, and the unorthodox matches. We killed each other. It was. You say sorry later. You know, as long as the fans walk away entertained, that's all that mattered. So I miss those days. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I really do.
It definitely came through the TV, too.
Yeah.
The fans appreciated every effort
that you
put in. Oh, God.
It was so exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, guys were coming up to us. Oh, my God. You really are amazing out there. And I'm like, thanks. You know, my God. You know, we're impressing the guys, you know. So.
And they were impressive matches. They really did
steal the show.
They really did.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. That's nice to hear. Because we did put our heart and soul in it.
Yeah.
You know, and just the nerves before, about to puke. I mean, it doesn't change. They're like TNA, they're like, wow, you're so nervous before matches. I'm pacing, nauseous, all that. And they're like, wow, you still get sick like that?
Yeah,
like
that
before
feels.
Matches? I go, yeah, man, I do. I go, I want to do my best out there. And
right.
I don't want to screw up. And I want the fans to go, man, that girl has it. She's still good out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's a lot of pressure, especially being in the industry for so long.
Yeah.
But still being at my age, you know?
Right, right.
You know? So it's crazy, you know?
Absolutely. So I know you're kept in the dark a little bit, but is there anything we can look forward to?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a new character going to be being introduced in a couple weeks.
Okay.
It might be next week. I'm not sure. And Mickey James is, you know, you'll see what happens with Mickey James soon.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot with the main eventers and stuff like that that's happening. A lot of new stuff coming along, you know.
Right.
I can't tell too much,
right,
but
right.
My character's a little bit more, get more psychotic, I guess you can say. So,
that seems to work for you all.
I know, which is crazy because I played that crazy character too well, which scares me.
Right.
You know, and I'm really not that person outside the ring, but something in there brings it, you know, it's my therapy session.
There you go.
You know?
Good stress relief.
Yes, it is. It is.
Awesome.
Gosh.
All right, thank you very
much. Well, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Tune in every Thursday on Spike.
I will.
All right.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So again, thank you to TNA's Tara for taking those minutes with us. I actually got answers to questions I was really curious about, and I thought some of the cooler things that she said were, or actually the coolest thing to me was the fact that she said the girls were toned down after they started wrestling too much like the guys, and that's something I never really thought about before, but it makes sense. I still don't understand why WWE would have made that choice, because that golden era that she referred to of women's wrestling when it was
with
like
her
and Trish was just so phenomenal. And none of the diva matches that they've been having.
The divas are terrible now. They can't even, I mean, they don't have Fit Finley as a trainer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they're going out there and given three to 4 minutes and told to have a match. And three, like I think Tara mentioned, I mean, I don't know if it was in the interview or she may have mentioned us before the interview, but they're very cookie cutter. I mean, they all look the same.
Mm-hmm.
They all are, well, I mean, God bless Kelly. She's hot, but I mean, she half of them can't really do much. And I mean, there's always botches and it's embarrassing to watch sometimes. And I mean, I guess I think that the real reason is, I mean, Tara didn't really say this, but I could kind of, I think the thing is the girls were overshadowing some of the guys, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you would know this, but I mean, wrestling is a very, what do you mean?
It's very, very male oriented.
Yeah. And they probably didn't like that. And I'm sure, you know, instantly, you know, they're going to get their way, and they're going to, if they feel insecure compared to the girls, then they're obviously going to change that. So,
sure.
So
that was awesome to talk to her. And then the only other thing I did at the convention was when I talked to Charisma Carpenter, and I was literally in line for like an hour, hour and a half waiting to get that autograph. And we talked about how horribly organized that was, but it was really cool to meet her. I was actually going to try and get an interview with her as well, but I would have had to stay later, which would have been a problem. And with the way things were organized, I really didn't think that was going to happen. Anyway,
they actually, so. I think she pretty much, she had a panel at 3, and pretty much right after that, she was gone.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, she out of any of them, she would have been the hardest to get an interview with.
Well, yeah, she was there Saturday only, and, well, James Marsters would have been the hardest one because they told me flat out no.
Yeah, so. They're just like, I was there, and they're like, yeah, James Marsters, no.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, he doesn't do interviews at cons and stuff. They're like, Charisma's a maybe, but we'll see. So, I wasn't going to really add too much more to her day. I was thankful enough just to get the bumper and surprised that they allowed that. So I'll take what I can get.
Just to get a photo with her and stand next to her. She's damn good looking for a 40-year-old mom.
Oh my God. Yeah. Seriously, she has not dropped at all.
No, she hasn't. Looks like she hasn't aged at all. It's scary.
Just as gorgeous as she is on TV too. Like that was, I wasn't even as much starstruck as it was that I was just talking to this amazingly gorgeous woman and blown away by that.
Yeah, seriously. I don't think I would have been able to form sentences.
I'm surprised I did. I bet you. I'm glad I didn't have the recorder on while I was actually talking to her, although that probably would be really funny to play because there's no doubt I was stuttering all over the place and just going blah, 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 the bumper, please. Like, that was probably what she...
Speak it to this.
Yeah. Although, you know what? She was promoting on the Twitter, and this is one of the things I actually wish I had a smartphone for, is that the day before she was tweeting out that she was going to try and get a special line for the non-VIP people to still go ahead of the rest of the crowd if they were following on her on Twitter. But she didn't tweet that till she was actually at the convention. And since I don't have the smartphone, I couldn't check it. She actually did put a code up on her, or actually a phrase that you needed to say to a line rep to kind of get quicker through the line after the VIPs to go in and meet her. And I wish I had known because it probably would have saved me like at least 40 minutes. But when I talked to her, I said hi like this. I walk up, I go, hey, it's at CL Carpenter on the Twitter. And she's like, oh, hey, you're a follower. I was like, so, I don't know. I was trying to be
pretty cool.
Clever. Trying to be clever, but she was like, at the when I was done talking to her and everything, she was like, oh, so what's your avatar on Twitter like? And I'm like, oh God, there's no way she's gonna know who I am. So I was like, oh, I it's like me, but it's dressed up as Superman, and I'm doing like a Clark Kent type thing. And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, I've seen that. I'm like, no, you haven't. But thank you for humoring me, because if that is true in any small iota, maybe, then yeah, I don't know. But I was thrilled just to talk to her, and yeah, the autograph is awesome.
Yeah,
and all that stuff. So yeah, overall, I mean, I was at Wizard World New England for 4 hours, and it was what it was. I got what I got, and it was successful for what it was, I guess.
I mean, the one thing I just wanted to add, I think someone when I was in line did mention, I guess this is kind of cool. I mean, maybe it would have been cooler if it was like 2003, but when Buffy was still on the air. But no, I guess this was the first convention that more than two people from Buffy had been in the same area since many, many years, like 5 or 6 years. So I guess that was a big thing. But, you know, back in my old days, I would have been like, oh, I've got to meet all of them. But, you know, nowadays, it's like, it's been too long.
Got to catch them all.
God, it's like Pokemon. Yeah. Right. So, but.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, then I will put out the poll question one more time, just for those of you who don't remember from the, I don't know, half hour ago, if that. What is your favorite video game movie? Please send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. And I'm going to say one other thing about the poll question, just because I'm going to be more of a nag, is that I don't like getting the responses on Facebook. I already check my email and I check Twitter. I don't want to have to check that too. Yeah. So if you're too lazy to actually click the email address and send it to me, then guess what? I'm too lazy to put it in the responses. So take that. Boom, boom.
Bam.
Yeah.
There you go.
Both barrels. Boom, boom. I'm cutting off the cutting off the Facebook responses as far as responses to this go. I need to save myself some time and get a little more organized. So click the button to email me, podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. Or if you're at Twitter, it's just as easy as replying to the actual tweet @GeekGeneration on Twitter. So please do those two forms. Dropping the hammer.
Bam.
Boom. Is there anything you'd like to plug, Brian?
Not really. I don't think I have anything to plug. So I am here plug free.
Plug free. Well, then I'll take the plug time to do the usual Dangerous Memories. Go check that show out. They don't need our help, but we plug them anyway. You're welcome, Todd. I'm sure all the people who listen to the show are very aware of you since I play your commercial every week anyway, but
Hey, it's those guys.
Again, if you like the show, I ask you to please tell your friends, because that's the only way we're really going to spread our wings and fly.
Woo.
Yeah. If you want to check out the site, see some of the stuff we talked about in the news, or just some of the other articles that I throw up there, head to www.thegeekgeneration.com. On the site, there is a button to subscribe to this show in iTunes. Please go to iTunes, I beg of you. Rate the show. Write a review. We have 6 ratings, 3 reviews. I know there are more of you listening. Please go there and take care of that for me. I appreciate it.
Do it now. Do it now.
There's a donate button on the site, which no one will ever use. And if you have questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, please send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you have an article you would like me to post on the site, or an audio file you would like to submit to this show, you can send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. I haven't gotten anything yet, but I'd love to. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. Wrapping up episode 15 and all of our Wizard World wonderment. It's been fun, Brian.
Yes, good time as always.
As always. We will see you next time on The Geek Generation.